Well, good news from the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen. The NCAA has now announced that they will no longer allow championships to be held in states that, well, in the words of the Town Hall magazine, protect women athletes. But what we really mean is in states that discriminate against trans athletes by not allowing them to participate in women's sports. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle with Steve Green and Scott Ott, the subject we've been here many times before. It's an important subject, and I have a modest proposal to eliminate the social tensions caused by the transgender athlete issue. And it's a very simple one. I say we eliminate completely the distinction between men and women's sports. Since men and women, boys and girls, is a social construct, according to our leftist overlords, and that the whole thing is essentially just a choice, I say eliminate them completely. We simply say for a high school team, if you want to have a track team, then the 10 fastest people, the 10 fastest individuals, the 10 fastest G or Zer that happens to be there are on the team. Completely eliminate women's sports altogether. Eliminate it in the Olympics as well. No more women's NBA, no more women's categories in the Olympics, nothing. Let's just take them at their word and say that biology has got nothing to do with performance. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's all a social construct. Steve, can't you see how this idea would finally level the playing field and prevent these tools of the patriarchal oppression from having sway over what's fair and not fair in women's sports? What do you think the outcome would be if they were to adopt my entirely logical and radical idea that since sex and biology and gender are just constructs, let's just eliminate them?
Yeah, Bill, I endorse your idea, kind of. The only problem with it is it doesn't go far enough. If there's one thing I'm sick of, it's this sort of preening, smug moral superiority of these disabled kids and their so-called special Olympics. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm special, too. And I have the right to compete in the standing long jump against some palsied kid. And if I win
Absolutely.
The gold— That's my goal. That's my constitutionally protected right.
I couldn't
right
agree to, more. And furthermore, yeah. I would have to say, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. I would admire you for your courage in doing that, Steve, in breaking out of your social construct and just following your dream.
Exactly. And you know,
how's that any different?
It isn't. You know, I've never amateur boxed in my life, but I bet I could take on some one-armed kid, you know, some one-armed 12-year-old and do pretty good. And so why shouldn't I?
And you'd win the championship.
Yeah.
And who's to say that you shouldn't be able to follow your dreams? Scott, I believe that I've come to believe that no matter how hard you try to convince people of things that are real or not real, when things get prosperous enough and comfortable enough, it just doesn't matter. It just bounces off. So if people vote for socialism, I say the best thing to do is to give them some socialism, because the only people that don't want socialism are people who live under socialism. And this is entirely my rationale here. If this continues, then we're going to see more and more trans athletes competing with women, and the NCAA will not only allow that, but they'll encourage it. They'll celebrate it. So why don't we just get all this nonsense over with and eliminate the distinction completely? Because if you're going to put biological females out of business, you might as well just get it done now, right?
It certainly makes as much sense as what the NCAA is doing. It occurs to me that a lot of the people who are backing this idea of equality of outcome for all, and in this case with these transgender athletes, are doing it in a way that actually subverts democracy. You don't see the NCAA just coming out and saying, you know, we would like to make a public stand and we encourage people to vote for legislators in each of these states that support this idea. Instead, they're wielding their economic muscle and they're essentially using the tools of capitalism to throw their weight around to be able to say, well, we're going to deprive you of income. And by the way, they're not able to target that deprivation of income. So when an NCAA tournament or something doesn't happen in your state, it not only hurts the male business owners and the female business owners and the transgender business owners and the black business owners and the Latino business owners and everybody who would have benefited by the tourism dollars that flood into that locality so that people can enjoy this, what used to be just a sporting activity, but is now sort of this quasi-political enterprise. It doesn't make It doesn't ring true for the professed values of people who say that we believe in democracy, that we believe that the people should speak. Instead, they're saying, we believe big business should speak. We believe big Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines and any of these other corporations that they're leaning on to accomplish political objectives. And I'm not arguing the case against those political objectives as such right now. What I'm saying is it doesn't make sense to follow a process that rejects democracy and say that it's because you're in favor of democracy and equality and tolerance and all that kind of stuff. If the NCAA really wanted to take a stand, perhaps they should say, hey, when we have a tournament in your town, we will guarantee you that any sport that we play will be equally represented among men, women, and people who aren't sure which one they are, or people who have decided that they're the opposite of what they were born. Let's make sure the NCAA staff at headquarters has equal representation across the board in all of those areas. And let's make sure that we give a leg up to people who couldn't possibly compete in a man's world, so to speak, by changing the way scores are calculated so that we make sure that we're not discriminating against the girls who want to play boys' sports. And then let's also handicap the boys who want to play girls' sports. And I know I'm not using their proper language. You have the freedom of speech, NCAA weasels. You can say whatever you want. The people who participate on those various teams and who own stadiums and who run universities, all of you have freedom of speech. But economic extortion is not the way to accomplish democratic values.
The NCAA has categories for male and female sports, men and women's sports. The NCAA basically controls male and female sports throughout the college system in the United States. If the NCAA is saying that you can move from one category to other, essentially at your whim, then they're saying that the categories have no meaning. The NCAA is trying to claim that you cannot compete in women's sports as a transgendered male going to play in women's sports unless you've had a year of testosterone suppression therapy, which is swell. But the muscles that you put on prior to that don't go anywhere. And furthermore, and much more importantly, archaeologists anywhere in the world can find any humanoid skeleton at any time in human history. And if they find the pelvis, they can determine whether or not that's a male or a female, because those bones are built differently. They have a different mechanical advantage. The leverage situation is different. And put all of the testosterone suppression aside, you cannot change the mechanical structure of the hip that makes men faster than women. And that's all there is to it. But if the NCAA says that you can, then they're essentially saying that there is no distinction, because if you can go from one category to another, then there is no distinction. So therefore, eliminate the distinctions. I'll tell you why I like this idea. I like this idea because even liberals have kids occasionally, and some of those kids are daughters. There's probably 10 million women athletes in this country who train as hard as the male athletes, who put as much of their lives into this as the male athletes, as dedicated to it as the male athletes, as much committed to it as the male athletes, and who will suddenly find themselves in second or third or fifth place, depending on how many transgendered males attempt to join that particular competition. How is this fair to them? How does one person's desire to compete in a group of people that he is biologically different from, how does that person's desire trump the dreams and aspirations of 10 million young girls? I thought the whole last 10 years was to empower these young girls, not take the power away from them. And to people like Megan Rapinoe, who was the ostensive star of the U.S. women's soccer team, who sued, the U.S. women's soccer team sued, basically saying that they should get paid as much money as men. My response to Megan is, Megan, there's a very, very easy way for you to make as much money as a male soccer player, and that is get on their team. Just do it. Just get on their team. Right now, as I look at the standings of the moment, it will be Manchester City, or get on Barcelona or Liverpool, Manchester United. Try out for one of those teams. And if you succeed, then you will get paid what the rest of the guys on that squad pay. But you won't make any of those teams. In fact, you wouldn't even be good enough to play on the LA Football Club, which is the number one club in America at the moment, which is 179th in the world at the moment. The best woman player on the best woman's team would not be able to make it onto the best American male soccer team, which is 179 in the world. Now, I don't enjoy bringing these particular statistics to your attention, but since you determined that you're going to enforce your will on the rest of us, you really leave me no choice. I'll just conclude this so that people don't think I have such a grand idea about myself by simply saying this. I just had my 62nd birthday, and I think that if I were to try out for the University of Florida baseball team, I think I'd have a solid chance of playing second base. I think the chance of me playing second base is I think there's a better than average chance I could get that position. I can see from your faces that you appear to be skeptical about this, gentlemen. I didn't say I was going to play second baseman. I said I was going to play second base. I could be the base. I could go out there, paint myself white, lie still, and not move. I think I could qualify for that. I couldn't qualify to be on the University of Florida baseball team, and I couldn't qualify to be on the University of Florida women's softball team either. But I could qualify for the team I used to play for, which is Little League Baseball team on Key Biscayne, Florida. I'm fairly confident that I could go back among those 10-year-old players. And I think I could become what I wasn't then, which is most valuable player, home run leader, hit leader, and all the rest of these statistics that I wanted. And I want them. I want to be the MVP of Key Biscayne Little League Baseball if it still exists. So why should I not be able to do that? Why should I not be able to do it? I want it. I want it. So why can't I have it? It's not fair to me that I cannot go back and have my dreams of being the best Little League baseball player in the world unrealized. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and compete with these 10-year-olds. And once you get the actual mechanics of this, you realize that my desire to go back and play with 10-year-olds and win the Little League baseball most valuable player doesn't make me a hero. It makes me kind of a coward. It makes me kind of a guy who realizes that I haven't got the slightest chance in the world to compete against people who are in my category. Not the slightest chance in the world. And I, for one, am not going to try and change the rules and destroy the lives of other people so that I can get my way. The best way to deal with these insane ideas is to grant them. Grant them. No more Women's Olympics. And then let your eyeballs tell you whether there's any truth to this idea that biology is just a social construct. Let's do it. Let's do it. Eliminate the categories, and then let's watch television. And that's where our proof will be one way or another. And if I'm wrong, I will be the last person to admit it. For Steve and Scott and the rest of the team here at BillWhittle.com, thanks for watching Right Angle. We'll see you next week.